fascinating. Gadgets, gizmos, and gear-based technologies.
Welcome to FGGBT. Now, this is the show that takes your favorite fictional science and technology, we make it a reality. We are the Brain Trust. I am the analytical mastermind, Daniel J. Glenn. With me, the physics phenom, Dr. Michael Denon.
Dan, it is so great to be here. And once again, prove another fact of nature true. Mm-hmm. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. Even Dr. Michael Denon occasionally picks something that the analytical mastermind enjoys watching.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, I have to tell you, Denon, given your track record of bad movies, you came up with a great theory in our last episode, and you picked a great show this time. So, you know, practice makes perfect, is what I'm saying. And if there's one man who needs no practice because he is perfect, it's our enigmatic engineer, Ben Siebser. Ben, how are things up there on the Brain Station?
Dan, by the power of the Brain Station, I have the power to put my engineering brain to use and become a real master of the universe.
I don't know about you, Dennett, but I was kind of hoping Ben was going to turn into a hulking Schwarzenegger type figure. I was hoping he got really big glasses. Yeah.
I hulked out underneath. Unfortunately, you know, we only got the head up view.
Yeah. No, that's true. But if the audience could see, they would
see the abs just ripped.
Rippling. Well, you know, speaking of rippling, this is great. So we're going to talk about He-Man. Well, actually, we're not going to talk about He-Man because for some reason, this show is not really about He-Man. But I grew up on He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, that entire world. And I can't believe we did She-Ra. It took us a really long time to do this. And this is one of the shows I grew up on, Denon. So I can't believe it took us so long to actually get around to it.
I think you were just too comfortable, Dan. You were too used to it. And I do think it's one of those interesting places where the Masters of the Universe, Revelation and Revolution and whatever ones, they had a lot of R's in them, really managed to highlight the magic science juxtaposition. And I think that's what triggered it for me. As great as the show is, if you're just watching it for the adventure, the science angle may not be as obvious.
That's fair. Yeah, I think that's probably very fair. And we're going to talk about Revelation, I believe. We're going to kind of get into the nitty-gritty of that. But of course, we're going to talk about the original series because I can't possibly get through this episode without doing that or by telling you some of my stories about it. I had the Snake Mountain playset. And what was really cool about it is it had a microphone. And so you could actually talk into it and it would be very tinny. No bass. But it was a lot of fun. It was a really cool playset. Yeah, and the other playset that I really wanted, but my mom wouldn't get me, was the Slime Pit. So there was actually this is early days of slime. And so this is like Ghostbusters were around, you had ectoplasm in these little containers, and He-Man had slime. And so you would put the little, you know, your character inside this little trap. He was trapped by this claw, and you'd pour slime in the top, and it would come down on him. You know, this is also the time of Nickelodeon getting slimed. I'm really dating myself here. But my mom wouldn't let me get that, you know, but she's a great mom. So what did she do? She got me Slime Pit Bubble Bath, which you can still find on eBay. And it was this little container of slime, and you'd put it in the bath and it would make bubbles. It was really cool. And on top was this gigantic green hand coming out of the jar. So it was a lot of fun is what I'm saying. And this is
what you're saying is from early childhood, foam was your comfort when you didn't get what you really wanted.
Exactly. It didn't start out as foam. It had the illusion of being this green gelatinous mass. But when water was applied, it became foam. You know, and that is a theme, Den, and you just struck right on a theme here. Illusion. I think in He-Man, nothing is really as it seems, right? You know, you've got Castle Grayskull seems to be an illusion. We learn that it's the Hall of Wisdom here. Prince Adam is not Prince Adam. He's actually He-Man. Teela is allegedly hiding how powerful she is. And Skeletor is a skeleton, but he also has a normal body. Things are very weird in this world, is what I'm trying to say here. Is anything real, Denon?
Well, Dan, you know, you struck a chord with me because I've reached this place where I believe we over-narrowize the world, the word real, and that everything is real. Like, if you think it's real, because, of course, my thoughts are real. Or my other thought is the only thing that real is, as I've mentioned earlier, me, and everything else is an illusion. But I do. Very different ideologies. Two different ideologies there. I haven't decided which one I'm in yet. But I totally agree with you. I have to say, I think the illusion in this that I most love is Castle Grayskull.
Yeah.
Because for me as a child, I was always a little disturbed that the good guy Castle was a skull and looked evil.
Mm. Yeah. And right? Skeletor's like, the bad guy.
And Skeletor's the bad guy. Like, I always assumed it was like his castle and they had taken it away. I didn't know what was going on there, right? Like, so illusion and reality, I'm with you, Dan. It's tricky in this. And you know, I'm shocked. I didn't realize. So Adam's He-Man, huh?
Well, I think the shocking thing to me is, right, this Grayskull is this most powerful place and it's tiny. It's like barely bigger than the drawbridge.
Yeah, it's a good room.
I guess it's more to do with the toys, right? That's probably as big as they would make the toy, but it shows that great power can come in small packages.
Well, you bring up a great point here, guys. Is that this is a strange world because this might be one of the few instances where a toy manufacturer made the figures. And then to sell them to kids, had to tell you what to do with them. So they had small comic books, little stories. And then they turned that into a TV show that was kind of haphazardly thrown together, which is why you have fantasy and sci-fi. You got Skeletor and a Grayskull. And they just made cool toys for kids. And then later on had to figure out how to make it all work. So that might be part of what's going on here. But as a kid, one of the strangest things besides He-Man's haircut was the fact that Prince Adam and He-Man look identical. This isn't a situation where you have, Bruce Banner turning into the Hulk. You basically have Arnold Schwarzenegger dressed up as a prince, and then he suddenly takes off the shirt, puts on a bearskin loincloth and a metal strap around him, and he's the same guy, right? this was very hard for me to kind of, rectify my head.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to ask you then, Dan, an important question. Did you rectify Clark Kent and Superman? Because except for the glasses, it's basically the same transformation. But it really gets to, I think, human psychology. That loincloth is pretty distracting, Dan. It's bizarre, but is it? I mean, that's what I have to ask, right?
Well, I think you also, with Clark Kent, you can imagine, he probably wears like kind of baggy clothes, hides the buff, but Prince Adam doesn't really do that.
Yeah, he wears a lot of tight shirts.
Yeah. So I do question the quality of vision that the other denizens of Eternia have.
Well, I'll say this in my defense. Okay, so hopefully I'll put up. There's this great SNL sketch, and there's very few great SNL sketches. They run a little too long with a very flimsy concept, typically. But this one was great. It was The Rock pretending to be Superman, pretending to be Clark Kent, and he's gigantic, so it was really funny. I'll put that up so people can watch. But outside of that particular instance of Superman Clark Kent, he's kind of an average-looking guy. I mean, no disrespect to Christopher Reeves, but he wasn't super built. His dad, yes, George Reeves, I think had a pot belly, if I remember correctly. So Superman is not known necessarily for being buff. He's known for being strong, which comes from other fantastical elements. So I think it's very, as silly as it's just the glasses and the curl, the hair curl would hide. Mm-hmm. Look at Groucho Marx glasses. I mean, if someone puts those glasses on, you can't tell who they are. I think that's kind of the same situation here, Denon.
No, it could be. I also think, gentlemen, I'm going to challenge both of you a little bit. And Dan, you asked the question of illusion versus reality. Mm-hmm. I do think this is just proof that personality does matter. Right. Yeah. We make it as a bad joke, right? Like, oh, you know, they may not have great looks, but they have a great personality. And that's sort of one of those standard bad jokes. But I think in this case, it's the personality shift from Adam to He-Man that is keeping people distracted, right? Yes, we pay attention to looks, but, you know, magicians distract us all the time, Dan. Like, the ultimate illusion is what magicians do. And you know, like, in that case, you know, okay, they're hiding the coin somewhere or they're doing it. And yet you still don't see it. You don't experience it. And so, right, really, really good misdirection creates its own reality. And I think this is what He-Man does.
This is a great lead-in, then, actually a fantastic lead-in, because I think there's a psychological component here. Now, you know, I spent an entire semester as a psychology major, so I think I'm perfectly qualified to discuss...
more than me.
Right? I think I've got more... I think I've logged more hours as a psychologist than the two of you have. So I'm perfectly qualified to discuss this. But it's funny because in the show, you know, as soon as He-Man raises... So we got to mention that there's... He also has a cat named Cringer, who's a scaredy cat who then when He-Man raises the power sword and says, by the power of Grayskull, he turns into He-Man. He points the sword at Cringer and Cringer turns into Battle Cat, like a BA cat who's, you know, tearing stuff up. They have a complete personality change. And this is interesting because, you know, in psychology, there is dissociative identity disorder where people have different personalities. And it seems that either what's happening is there's a tremendous acting job on He-Man and Prince Adam. And given his haircut, again, I don't think that's what's going on here. He's got kind of a Mark Davis thing kind of going on there. For those who know what that is, that's a hilarious joke. But if you know it, it's okay. So, but maybe this sword is like breaking down a barrier and shifting the personality, which is then changing how they are. You know, and dissociative identity disorder is characterized with a fugue state, which I first heard about in Breaking Bad. I'd never heard of it before that. But this is reversible amnesia. You can have unexpected wandering or travel. It's sometimes accompanied with the establishment of a new identity. And I think it's difficult to tell whether Prince Adam knows he's He-Man, if He-Man knows he's Prince Adam, if they really know what's going on in these shifts. This could be what's going on here, guys.
Definitely think it could be that. I mean, I think in this case, it may be something in between, Dan, because I feel like Prince Adam and He-Man know that they're Prince Adam and He-Man, but it's just other people who don't, because there are a few people who know they're the same, right? Mm-hmm. So either they're just his caretakers and you know, are nice to him and keep him calm between these changes, or... You know, he does actually have some insight to it. But just because the classic version means you may not know that you're both doesn't mean the Power of Grayskull version doesn't allow you to at least keep memories. And I think you're onto something there, Dan, where the Power of Grayskull is somewhat electric. We see some lightning and we know lightning and electro, you know, things on the brain can have effects. Yep. Right. So I think I like the direction you're going with this, Dan, that it's primarily personality.
Yeah.
That's the power of Grayskull more than the physique he still has before and after. So I like that. Okay. I like where you went with that.
Okay.
Well, and it falls with cats, too. I've known plenty of cats that are very can be kind of scaredy, but, you know, you do the. All of a sudden, they become violent little monsters, just like Cringer and Battle Cat.
They have it in them.
It's always there. It's just under the surface waiting to be brought out, you know, with either lightning or the smell of fresh prey.
Now, Dan, in this space, you know, illusion, reality, dissociated memory, personality changes, right? I mentioned how distracting the loincloth can be and how that can change your personality.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that will not change. Yeah. One thing that will not change your personality. One thing that will only enhance it is an awesome t-shirt.
Yeah. That's true.
Right. This is not. I just want to reassure our listeners and viewers that if you go and buy, even though this mentions the apocalypse, and I might look a little different in this picture, you might not recognize the transformation. Mm-hmm. It still is me. The personality is preserved. You know, the physics phenomness of my core being does not go away. So if you put this on, you are not going to transform, which may be sad for some people, but reassuring for others.
I think that's very true, Denon.
Well, and we're talking about, you know, changing personalities, but the ultimate change is, of course, becoming a cyborg, much like Triclops and the followers of Motherboard in He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Don't we all want to be mechanical and, you know, show that off with my T-shirt, the Enigmatic Engineer T-shirt.
I think you have to, because transformation is important, right? And, you know, at one point I was a lowly dullard, and then I went to school and I learned a lot, and I learned about film and television, and I became the analytical mastermind. Now, this is a permanent transformation. The He-Man transformation is, you know, quick, and it's simple, and it's instantaneous. Mine took a long time, and it's irreversible. But just like this shirt. So pick it up at fgbt.com/merch is the place to do that. So before we get too far away from this, there's one more point here, guys, that I want to make on the psychological section, is that we see in Revelations where there's a point where Prince Adam calls down the power of Grayskull without the sword, and then becomes kind of a rampaging Hulk. There's a third personality that exists here. One that he seems to not, it's almost unbridled power that he can't seem to rein in and control. Now, in the TV show, his physique does change, but you could see there's a significant mental change as well. The addition of a third personality, or the breaking down of a wall creating a third personality. So I still think that this is a very possible explanation, and it gives the sword another function, and we're going to talk about plenty of its functions in the future. But I don't know. What do you think about that, Denon? Does that change your mind at all?
No, I think it reaffirms
okay.
what we're talking about here, or confirms what we're talking about.
Yeah.
and it's great foreshadowing, Dan, because I think it really shows the role of the sword in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like another application of power, electricity, whatever, but without a protective conduit that I would argue blends his two personalities. Because what we see is he has some deep, as Adam, he has some deep-seated rage against his dad and how he was treated.
Mm-hmm.
As He-Man, he has extreme confidence and a lot of power. And you combine that rage and power, and that's basically the Hulk, and that's what you get. So I think, yes, it's a third personality, but it's a melding of the key elements of the first two. So I think it does support your theory, but maybe in a slightly different twist than you were thinking.
That's really interesting, because you're basically saying if Prince Adam was a hulky, strong man, he wouldn't be the kind of person maybe you'd want to be around. And there's a reason he keeps himself tempered in that state. I like it.
So that kind of went the other way. I think that he is Prince Adam. Unbridled power makes him the Hulk, but the sword fuses those two, and funneled through the power of the sword and the power of Grayskull, he becomes the more tempered, the more even keel, the best of both worlds, He-Man.
So, Dan, I think we're ironically saying the same thing in a weird way.
Okay.
With the sword, he's the best of both worlds.
Yes.
Without the sword, he's the worst of both worlds.
Yes. Okay, that's true. And I think the best of both worlds is the He-Man. Incarnation.
Yes. I like that.
But there's an interesting mix here, right? Because even that transformation, what, as you mentioned, one of the themes here is science versus magic. And this might be one of the best examples that I've seen recently where you really have this conflict between people who believe in science, people who believe in magic. Magic kind of functioning like science, but has very unique properties. Tila, basically the main character in this series, starts out very pro-science, becomes extraordinarily pro-magic at the end. It's a strange world where science fiction and fantasy are kind of melded together in this strange and delicious bouillabaisse that I think is unique to this show, I think.
Oh, I'm with you. I'm going to make one minor change to what you said, Dan. I think in this world, it's not a question of believing in magic or science, because both are manifestly real, right?
Mm,
like,
yeah.
So okay. Unlike, like in our world, you have people who believe in magic who we question their belief because magic is not manifestly real in our world. Mm-hmm. In this world, they both there. It's more sort of like being pro magic or pro technology. Which is your go-to? Which do you think is more powerful?
Yes.
Right. So yeah. I do think it's more sort of it's like, are you a Dodger fan or are you a Yankee fan? They both manifestly exist.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But, very which is similar. More powerful? Yeah. Yeah. And they're very similar in some ways, but yeah. different in others. You know, the yeah. Dodgers fled New York for the West Coast. You can question that choice.
Yeah. The amount of money they spend is roughly equal on players.
But the amount of money they spend is roughly equal. Yeah. You know. So
interesting analogy.
I think that's the I'm appealing to the sports expert in you there, Dan, to give you that analogy.
Well, and they're different shades of blue. We can't forget that.
Yes, that's very important. Similar, but different. But I think we have to, in some ways, really define what magic is, right? Because I know, yes. Dennis, you're a fan of magic. We've talked about lots. You know, we talked about Harry Potter before. We've talked about different instances, Lord of the Rings, where magic. We explain it, and you know the famous quote: "Any magic is, you know, significantly advanced technology type of deal." But I think this is a little different here. But I think we have to really describe magic. But I'm curious, Ben. You know, being an engineer, as someone who's rooted in reality, I almost said grooted. Yes. You are grooted. You are rooted in reality.
Different show.
Yeah, different show, but also kind of magic too. But if you were rooted in reality, how would you define magic?
Well, I like Denon's thing. You know, the sufficiently advanced technology looks like magic.
It's not Denon's thing, but I think might be Odyssey Clark.
I'm taking credit for it. We're trying to change history here.
Misquote the man, but
What Denon referenced.
I referenced but it, but yeah, go ahead.
But I think it's important here that in this world, they kind of work hand in hand, but they are in opposition too. You know, I mentioned it earlier. You know, there's Triclops and the followers of Motherboard.
Yeah.
They've taken this opportunity in the absence of magic to find ways to get the same power through normal means maybe we would understand better.
Sure.
Which I really like. I like this idea that there is an alternate path to the same power. Mm-hmm. Through things that anyone can manifest, not just the people who have the favor of the gods or the sorceress or whatever. You know, technology is for everyone. Magic is for the privileged few.
Hmm. Okay.
So I would take a different approach.
Okay.
Because for me, from a physics side, I would define magic as any aspects of reality that you need more than the four fundamental forces to explain. Right. Mm-hmm. So it might have its own rules. It might have additional rules. And so we know about gravity, electromagnetism, the strong and the weak force. Now, magic might be something that uses them in a way we don't understand. That's the whole advanced technology looking like magic, Dan. Mm-hmm. But I think what you see in He-Man is there is another thing. There is an addition going on. I mean, the thing I like to think about is, you know, we can now talk into our cell phones. So we finally have magical devices that are controlled by incantations.
Right. So it is kind of true. Well, this is interesting because I think, you know, what is magic? It is in this show. What is it? Like, is it natural? Is it technological? Do we just not understand it? And I think what's interesting is in our own world, we think we know a lot about how the natural world works, but there's so much we don't really understand. And when you even take some of our theories, quantum mechanics is bizarre. It's weird. It doesn't make sense to people. I don't know what's different between explaining quantum mechanics and explaining how Gandalf, you know, does his stuff, right? Or how the sword of power works in this show, right? It's just as magical and weird. And it's not, you know, gravity, if you hold something and it falls, that's simple. But the rules of gravity and how it works seem magical in a lot of ways. And I think that you kind of almost have to, when you don't have a complete story, you got to fill in the gaps. You know, much like how this He-Man was made. You know, it was made, you had to fill in the gaps after you knew what the figures look like,
with
right?
The toys,
there's a strange thing going on here that I think carries theme-wise on.
Well, I do, and I love your quantum mechanics example, partly, Dan, because there's famous quotes by physicists that, you know,
Dr. Michael Dennick, we attribute them to you.
Well, no, unfortunately you can't, but maybe after this we can.
Yeah.
Because I do think most quotes are misattributed to the second person who said it, not the first person who said it. But you know, that people talk about how quantum mechanics, there's actually no one who truly understands quantum mechanics.
Right.
And I loved my quantum mechanics professor the first time I took it in college. His first class, he goes, look, in this course, you're going to learn how to calculate with quantum mechanics. Mm-hmm. Questions about what it means and how to understand it can only be discussed with beer in a pub. Mm-hmm. So do not attempt it in class.
Right. Yeah, 'cause it's weird. It's totally funky. Quarks, muon, all these subatomic particles, and it's bananas. It sounds like hocus pocus. It really and truly does. But in this, you know, you mentioned it's real in this show. It is something. How would you describe it, Danny? Because I think, you know, you had some interesting ways to describe, you know, what it is. Because it seems to be a substance. It seems to be real. You can channel it. How would you describe what you see in this show?
Yeah, so that's one of the cool things I like about this particular magic, and that the Masters of the Universe series reveals when you learn that it can go away, mm-hmm. is it does seem to be like a fluid, right? It's channeled through things, it flows, it's visible. When it's doing stuff, it's moving through space and time, and you control it with things most of the time.
Yeah.
Right. You have staffs. You have Grayskull itself as a channel. You have the sword as a channel. Now, the little wizard creature, Okra, did I get his name right?
No.
Orca.
Yeah. Okra's a little different, but similar.
Yeah, you know, I'm just remembering the shark thing, Dan. I'm stuck in Orca.
I was thinking of Okra the food, but yeah, as a jambalaya.
Okra the food, yeah. Like all of this is running together.
That's different.
Killer
magic
whales,
there.
Sharks, magic users.
Yeah.
You know, a different creature, not human, so maybe a device himself, mm-hmm. and that's why he's channeling it. But, it, you know, to me, it has the feeling of a substance that is controlled by other rules than just simple electromagnetism. And that's the core piece that I start with when I watch this show.
I mean, with him, I almost feel with Orca, we don't even know if he's a creature almost. Like, he's always, like, completely wrapped in this robe thing. Like, he could just be the energy itself, like some weird manifestation of this magical matter or whatever it is.
Yeah. And it's interesting, yeah, because you see his hands, but you don't see any, it's just eyeballs and a black dome, basically. Yeah, it is. I didn't think about him as a device, but this is kind of the one of the unique parts of this is that you need something to channel magic and make it real. You know, you have the sword. And in some ways, you know, like an electrical current, the sword is almost like a fuse. You know, He-Man holds it up, calls upon the power to come down, and then he becomes He-Man. And we see when he doesn't have that sword, weird things happen. You know, just like in a circuit board, if you don't have the right transistors and condensers and operator, I don't know, whatever exists on a circuit board, I don't make them, you do, Ben. But if you don't have those, I think you can agree that they don't work properly. Sometimes there might be, it may work differently, but it definitely doesn't work as intended.
Well, I mean, I would definitely worry about any type of electronic being around the sword when it's calling down the power of Grayskull, because all that lightning, that's not good for electronics. You know, all your electrostatic protections are going to pop, and I don't know if your chip's going to work anymore.
Yeah, it's a little unfortunate. And what's interesting about this is, you know, within a circuit board, it uses electricity. Electricity flows through it. But in this, you know, it seems like magic is almost a finite resource that is consumed.
Yes.
You know, Orko, you know, he needs it to survive. It's Eternia seems to be withering without it. There's a sustaining, quality to magic, which I think is unique to this as well.
No, I think it is. And it's actually an interesting historical fact, Dan, that we first thought of electricity as a fluid that flowed. Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. That was our model for it. And it's really interesting. Like when you switch your light switch and a light turns on, there is no flow of electrons all the way from that light switch to your light. All the electrons in the wire just shift a little bit. Like they all go whoop, and move to the side.
Okay.
Right. it's not like an electron flows the entire length of your wire, right? Which is a mental picture we often have of electricity that's left over from thinking that it's a fluid.
Yeah.
And so they are free to move and they do flow, but they don't, you know, flow super far. That's why the light turns on so quickly. And in this case, though, I think this magic, I really think you have to think of it as a substance that's moving.
Okay.
So it is very different. Now, it's the beginning. Maybe I'm making the same mistake we made about electricity, but I don't think so, because to your point, it runs out, and electricity doesn't really run out in that sense.
Though you can run out of the, you know, electric potential. So, you know,
which
perhaps,
is different.
Which is different. The electrons themselves are still there, but they're no longer at a higher charge state. So perhaps, you know, the magic is it's more like a battery where it's, you know, it's falling down the energy state and it's running out that way, even though whatever particles or it is causing the magic is still there or are still there.
Well, so it seems to have very unique properties. And in some ways, you know, Den, you started this off by mentioning the four forces in the universe. I mean, is it possible that this would be a fifth force, something that is, you know, heretofore unseen or unique to Eternia, you know, and works in a way that is, I don't know, similar in that respect and that we can use?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, Dan. My initial reaction to that was, oh, no, look, it's really this substance. It's a material.
Yeah.
But what's kind of cool is we know forces are in quantum mechanics, the mysterious magic you mentioned earlier, are all actually carried by particles. So the photon is the particle that generates the force that's the electromagnetic force. And photons, we see, they're light and they move around. So, you know, I think in that spirit, the Eternion,
right,
it can both be a particle and a substance that we see. It's the thing moving around.
Okay.
But it also can be the carrier of force. So in that regard, I'm doing the classic, what we've been trained in improv, Dan. I'm doing the yes and.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
Yes,
yeah.
It is a force and it is a particle and a substance.
Okay. Okay. I like that.
And I'm very excited about this. As a physicist, I'm excited. My Nobel Prize list is just growing, right? We've got the particle that explains cartoon physics. Now we got the particle that explains Eternia magic. My list of particles I've discovered with you as partners is growing. And the beauty of this, one final thing. Only three people can get the Nobel Prize at any one time. And luckily, we are three.
There's three of us. there's three of us. We're doing some good work here, for sure. This is, you know, and I think you'd even, you would describe this, what? So it's being in a plasma state, the Eternion's in a plasma state, highly energetic.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like, and just like we see light, we see it as this highly energetic state of photons.
Uh-huh.
You know, the Eternion's are in this highly energetic state being channeled by the castle, by the, you know, the sword, by the various people's staffs. So it's a very interesting process.
So does that mean we're interacting with the Eternions directly, or are they also creating like photon interactions and gravity interactions as normal?
Yeah, that's a good question, Ben. And we know that some force particles can only interact with some real particles. So like neutrinos are neutral, so they don't get affected by the electromagnetic force. So it looks like Eternions, you definitely need something special to interact with them initially, but that they can interact with ordinary matter as well. And so it would be an interesting question of how that works. So they're there, they can interact with most things, or otherwise you couldn't tie people up with them, you couldn't blow them up, and things like that.
Which is important. We need those qualities.
Key properties of Eternia.
Yeah, right. Right. Those are key properties.
You can't add a saddle to your cool cat.
Right. We need that, gentlemen.
So that implies then that the saddle is made of Eternions, not normal matter.
Or the Eternion's attraction to normal matter pulls it together and condenses a saddle out of the air.
Okay.
There's lots of ways to get to a saddle, which is great. A couple of different pathways. Yeah. But this is interesting. So, you know, I'm curious here, guys. So one of the main themes is that magic, this Eternion, it's leaving the world of Eternia, and it's slowly withering and it's dying. And it made me think, you know, when I look at magnets, to me, magnets might as well be magic. You know, it's invisible. They just, you know, if you have big heavy ones, they slam together. You know, I loved magnets as a kid. Just two pieces that were just attracted to each other. It was actually weirder to me is to take the opposite ends and feel them physically like push apart. That was always, that might as well be magic to me. And I know that you have the electromagnetic force. So let's say that magnetism disappeared, right? Let's say that magnets were gone. The magnet force it's just the electro force. You know, we have a magnetosphere that surrounds the Earth that protects us. Now, let's say that's slowly withering away. This, I don't know, does this feel like it might be similar to what's going on in Eternia? Roughly?
I like it, Dan. Yeah, I like it. I mean, there's some things we'll ignore, and that's good because we're used to ignoring them. But what it drives, right, is things like, I know one of your favorite things, Dan, I think, is steampunk.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, very fun.
And if we think about how much of our technology is based on magnets being there, that was a choice we made, a decision. As we've said many times in this show, we get energy by spinning stuff. And what we're spinning is a magnet, right? Yeah. Basically, right? So if you don't have free and easy electricity, you stick with the steampunk. And that is really Triclops, I believe is his name here, is doing the steampunk analogy. So I love where you went with this, Dan, because I think it gives us a good visual of competing technologies based on different things. In this case, in Eternia, it was magic competing with what we think of as technology, but they're both technologies. Mm. And you've brought up the great example of electricity, say, competing with steam. Mm-hmm. And now you have to go back and we all have to integrate into the steam world.
Okay.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we're not lucky like Triclops, who still seems to have integrated circuits and electronics.
Right.
You know, we only really have one main, we only really have two sources of electricity that don't require spinning magnets. You know, batteries, which you can create chemically, photovoltaic solar panels, which are, you know, use. They don't use magnets to make their electricity.
Yeah.
But that's about it. Everything else is spinning something, and we would very quickly run out of power. And the reality is too, like, you're not going to be able to make most of that stuff without motors. So,
right, yeah.
You know, we're in pretty deep trouble. In a world without magnets, it's certainly not a world I want to go back to.
Well, if it slowly disappeared, right, like right now, let's say it slowly disappeared now, I think you would almost have a world that resembled He-Man in that, like you're saying, then you got to go back to a steampunk type world.
Yeah.
And you also have we have a very advanced technology here. Some of it's useless. Some of it isn't, though. And you go back to a mechanically based society with elements of sci-fi. I mean, I don't know. I feel like in 100 years, you got He-Man. You got loincloths, as you like. You furry loincloths, then, and you're back and you're super happy.
Well, no, I like that. And I think I would say Ben had one potential difference. I actually think there's another one, Dan, that you just alluded to. Right now, we don't have a balance of steampunk and electrically driven society. Mm-hmm. Right. The He-Man universe is an interesting, right? You've got Man-at-Arms, who's all tech.
Yes.
Right. And He-Man, who's all magic. Yes. And they're existing basically as equals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
And then the magic disappears. And people like Triclops are saying, see, we never should have had the magic. Mm-hmm. It's just the technology. Right. And he goes all in on it.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, I think your analogy is almost like if we were at the time where you still had steam and you were starting electricity and they were on equal footing, right? And they both evolved together and you had really cool steam technology and really cool magnet-based technology. And then the magnets went away. All the steampunk people would be like, see, suckers, you were wrong. Like right, you should have stayed with steam.
Yeah. That's true. Because electricity is kind of magical for them back at that particular time.
Yeah, and it's a shame, you know. Steam is cool, but unfortunately, it's not as good as electricity. You know, it's dirty, it's dangerous. But you know, that's why we went with the electricity.
I sound like.
But if magnets go away, Ben, if magnets go away, you want it to be steam.
Yeah, that's pretty wimpy talk.
I mean,
Ben.
If magnets go away, we're back to steam engines, and we're back to mills and water wheels. You know, it's gonna be a tough go.
It'll be a transition. I think we can all agree it'll be a transition. Yes. And one thing that, you know, we see another very big transition here is when Skeletor is defeated by magic, you know, magic is slowly disappearing. And as you guys are alluding to, there is Triclops does, you know, start his own, you know, he kind of takes over the role of Skeletor in Snake Mountain. And there's this big power vacuum that exists with Skeletor gone, with magic gone. Something has to fill that void, both from a leadership perspective, but also an ideological perspective. And we see that where Triclops kind of creates a religion of science. And this happened, you know, this has happened throughout history. Once, you know, once a leadership is gone, it's usually replaced by something militaristic, a warlord, or, you know, a religious group takes over. Someone has to. And shifts of power, someone's got to move in there. And this happens in this show, I think, to great effect.
Mm-hmm. No, I really like it. I mean, I think, Dan, you're alluding to the whole famous quote, nature abhors a vacuum.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
which can be applied to nature and the other part of nature, people. And then, so you have this great sort of connection here, right, where you really do see, okay, this thing we had is gone. And though I described earlier, let's face it, I was a little optimistic. There was not an even balance between technology and magic. Magic was clearly ruling. Mm-hmm. He-Man was in charge, not Man at Arms. Skeletor was in charge, not the tech people, right?
Yeah.
And I love your point. The people in charge go away. Someone's got to take over. And what I find interesting is it's Triclops, not Evil Lyn. Because Evil Lyn is trying to preserve that past of magic,
right,
which is going away. And Triclops leans into the tech, which is an interesting dynamic here.
Yeah, well, Triclops is the progressive hero we need to, you know, bring us into the to bring Eternia into a modern era that isn't reliant on the whims of the sorcerers and some unknowable magical power.
I think that's great, but it doesn't surprise me, Ben, that you would be on this side. I mean, they are kind of a cult of machines. They talk about how the flesh is weak. You talk about our squishy bodies. You know, you recommended we get rid of them and keep our brain in a jar in a previous episode. I'm with you. I'm with you on that. You know, and they have them drinking nanobots. They worship the holy motherboard and the holy sprocket. They got a real Pastafarian vibe here, which I really love. But so Ben, I could see you, if you don't start this religion, I could see you being a high-ranking official in it if this existed in our world.
I mean, I think to some degree we are in this world. Like, are we not already, you know, worshiping our cell phones and the internet and our computers and our Xboxes and such? I mean, I think we're already there. We just don't have a clear Triclops.
I think we do. I believe that's called Apple.
Right. Elon Musk feels very Triclopsy. You know, you could stick him in a hat with three eyes on it, and I feel like you'd be like, oh, okay, I could see that guy. Maybe. But you see science as religion for sure. I mean, Denon, I feel like you're part of the science as religion kind of guy. But you're also a religion as religion guy. So
yeah, so I'm kind of on the edge.
On the edge.
I'm a scientist on the edge. Don't mess with me.
You really are.
I do want to add something really cool. You alluded to it. I love that they worship both the holy sprocket and the holy motherboard.
Right.
They acknowledge the mechanical side of technology as well as the electrical side of technology. Right. They're not going. This is not a, you know, upload your brain to a computer and live in a cyber world. I mean, you started us off on illusion and reality and what's reality. Mm-hmm. And I think they commit to a physical reality of having the mechanical body, having the sprockets, right? And not just this illusional reality of being inside a computer.
Right.
So I love, you know, they don't quite have the Trinity. I wish they had a third thing. As a Catholic, I really wish they had three things that they worship. Sprocket, the motherboard, and I don't know, the battery. Right? You need a power source here, right? Like, to really
generator.
Have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? Like, they're close. Yeah. They're close, Dan. They're almost on the perfect religion.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think it's the reality of you need mechanical systems to build more electrical systems. You know, you can't build a circuit board without motors, without sprockets. So they're acknowledging, like the Trinity, that that each comes from the other, right? And so you need, and I think electricity is the third, or the generator is the third. You know, you need the thing to control the motors, you need the motors to create the electricity, and you need the electricity to run everything. Like, it's all intertwined, and it makes perfect sense.
I love that. Comedy and religion, you got to have threes. You know, it's the holy holy motherboard, sprocket, and the major battery, or something like that. Yeah. There's something going on there, exactly. Denon. And I love it. And on religion, the last point here that I think is interesting is, you know, for centuries, you know, back when you were a kid, Denon, you know, the world believed that the Earth was the center of the universe. And slowly, as we got more scientific knowledge, you know, most of us have come on board that the Earth is not the center of the universe. We're not even the center of our solar system, and that we're round. Most people still believe that. But in Eternia, what's interesting is they are, at least we are told, that some of them believe that Eternia is the center of the universe. And then they prove it later on in the series that it's moving into the center, right, of the universe, which is confusing to me because they both say it's the center and then it's going to become the center. But this feels like a very religious idea that we are the center of everything. And that also happens here in Eternia. Whether it's true or not, whether it means anything, I couldn't possibly say.
Well, you know, Dan, I think we're sort of moving in a circular pathway here through our beliefs because, yes, initially being the center of the universe was a religious one. Then we kind of moved to the sun being the center and we move around the sun. But then we realize we're sort of at the edge and we're not the center. But, you know, when we realized the universe was expanding, Dan, just to throw out there, we realized that every point is actually the center because we're all expanding away from each other. So I would argue that we are actually, science has brought us back to realizing we are the center of the universe, Dan, and which is why I stand by earlier that everything revolves around me and I am the center of the universe because it's all expanding from this point. So I don't know. It could be a questionable philosophy, but I think science is moving, and that's why they're moving towards the center, Dan.
Okay.
They're moving towards an understanding of how they are the center.
Got it. Well, you're definitely the center of your universe. I would argue
that.
Oh,
yeah. No, clearly, no doubt.
Yeah.
I love this idea that everything is the center of the universe, but then if everything's the center of the universe, nothing's the center of the universe.
That's true.
Yeah, just don't go that far, Ben. Stop your thought. Everything is the center of the universe, therefore I am the center. That's the logic you want.
The logical conclusion. Well, I think that's a logical conclusion to this story before we become megalomaniacs. Here we're going to put our errors, additions, and omissions section. You know, this is things we wanted to talk about, but we didn't quite get to. Denon, is there anything about He-Man, religion, or you being at the center of it that you wanted to discuss?
Well, I just have to say, in this show, I haven't watched the full second season yet, but Evil Lyn, I liked this idea of her helping everyone partly out of self-interest because she needed magic too. I was a little disappointed how quickly she went back to Skeletor. I've watched enough to have a sense that maybe she's not liking Skeletor and has realized some of her mistakes. Because you know me, I like stories of change, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm happy. I was happy with that story. I don't know if that's an error. I think it's an addition. but I do like that. And I also think Orca is a great example of early voice to text translators that didn't quite work because most of his spells go a little bit wrong and they're verbal. And so I think he's verbalizing his spells and the translating isn't quite getting it right. And that's why you get the effect he has.
The interdimensional translators on the fritz. That's probably right. Those are good points. What about you, Ben? Anything you wanted to discuss along those lines?
Well, one quick thing is, like, her name is Evil Lyn. How do you not know she's evil?
That's like a nickname, though. That's like Tiny Tim, although Tiny Tim was small. But a lot of people I know named Tiny are not small.
Yeah. And the other thing is I do like how the, Triclops kind of gets the last word in the end of the show. And I appreciate that it shows science and technology triumphing. I gotta love it.
You have to love it. The cult of machines is where it's at. I just have a couple of things here. You know, growing up a fan of He-Man, the characters were all very strange and weird and animal based. And I love the idea of a human sized skunk And I've often wondered if you could scale up Stink, which might be the topic of a future episode. Fisto and Clamp Champ might be two of my favorite names for characters in the entire universe that I grew up with. And finally, you know, Ben, you mentioned on a previous episode the advantageous nature of a tiger being orange with black stripes. Mm-hmm. I would like to know the advantages of Cringer being a green cat with orange stripes. We're going to save that for another episode. But if you want to tell me what that means, you know, or you want to take a guess, please, you can get in touch with us on social media. We are on X, formerly Twitter, at FGGBTPod. We are on Facebook, at FGGBT. And our website is FGGBT.com. But you can get in touch with us individually. Denon, where can people find you?
Well, they can find me on most social media as Denon Michael. So you just flip my name and you go to at Denon Michael. I've added at Physics of X on Instagram for some really cool physics videos. I have a website, denonmichael.com. And then on Facebook, you stick in a prof. So it's Prof Denon Michael. And on YouTube, I've been there so long, I actually managed to corner Michael Denon. So I know that's a little strange, but you can find me on my channel, Michael Denon, on YouTube.
Well, I need to do a little disclaimer that people should grab a notebook if they want to be able to find you everywhere, which I will do on future episodes. But what about you, Ben? Can you help our audience out by being consistent with your social media handles?
I can be very consistent, Dan. I can be reached on all the major social media networks at B Seepser.
How do you spell that?
Spell that B-S-I-E-P-S-E-R.
And grab your notebooks because mine's a little weird. X on formerly Twitter at analytical. Wait, no, that's not right. I'm already getting it screwed up. So erase that. Grab your pencil if you still own those. Erase what I just said. Let's start over. You can find me on X, formerly Twitter, at Daniel J. Glenn, on Facebook, at Analytical Mastermind, and on Instagram at the Daniel J. Glenn. And I have a website, danieljglenn.com.
And if you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, make sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
If you're watching us on YouTube, hit the like button, subscribe, and ring that bell so you never miss an episode.
And finally, this show contains powerful information that can be misused by those hell-bent on world domination. So you want to take this information and do good with it when given the choice. Remember, always choose superhero, never be a supervillain. So until next time, thank you for listening. Fascinating Gadgets, Gizmos, and Gear-Based Technologies is a Glencoe production and is produced by me, Daniel J. Glenn. The Fascinating Gadgets, Gizmos, and Gear-Based Technologies introduction was produced by Daniel J. Glenn and Paul Springers, with music and sound design written and performed by Paul Springers. Now, of course, if you're listening to this episode and you've gotten this far, you're going to want to subscribe. Well, how do you do that? We're on all the major podcasting platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Spotify. But if you're not already subscribed to those platforms, I made it easy for you. Go to our website, fggbt.com. You'll find links to those subscribe buttons and also links to our social media, both for the show and for our individual experts, the members of the Brain Trust. That's all right there. FGGBT.com. And before you leave, don't forget to check out our other episodes. You can find the link at the top of the page for everything we've got, and you'll notice that we've got both a YouTube version and an audio-only version. Depending on what you like, we got it for you. And if you do like those videos, you can go ahead and subscribe to those as well. We're on youtube.com/Daniel J. Glenn. And once again, if you like this show, you're going to like everything that I do. Go to danieljglenn.com to find out more. Thank you for listening.